Hello and welcome back, my bitches, to the Real Bitch of Bravo podcast with yours truly, Jihei Wiley, the Real Bitch of Bravo, bitching about all things Bravo and getting as much tea as humanly possible. Now, who's ready to do some real bitching?
Hello and welcome back, you guys, to the Real Bitch of Bravo. We are going to start bitching in a second before we get to headlines. Sorry, a little scratch there. Welcome back, you guys. Thank you so much. I did just have surgery on my wrist. For those that listened or watched or whatever, however you get your podcast, thank you again for listening, watching, following, all that freaking crap. But I did have to have surgery. I don't want to freak you guys out. I had like a little accident at work where I was polishing a glass and the glass basically broke. The wine glass stem broke and it went into my wrist. Fortunately, there's not a lot of damage. I think there's like minimal ulna damage, nerve damage. So hopefully I will be back at it and fully functioning in like 6 weeks, they say, maybe. I'm going to know by Wednesday, next Wednesday. So, or Wednesday, I want to say the, let's look up the date. Wednesday the 13th, I will know by then. But you know what? My drama is nothing compared to the drama in this headlines. Let's go to it first. Headlines first. Some good news, because got to start out with the positive and not the negative. Ariana Madix is the new Roxy Hart. She made this announcement, depending on when you're listening to this, she made this announcement, I believe, on Wednesday morning at Live with Kelly and her husband. I'm sorry, I always forget his name. He's so sweet. But she made this announcement on a morning show, so in New York. So she will be in New York on a, I believe, 8-week run? Two months, which is probably great news for her boyfriend. He's probably going to be so stoked to have her to himself for a little bit, a semi to himself, for the next 2 months. So congratulations to Ariana. I think it's amazing. You may not have won Dancing with the Stars, but man, you won in life. So amazing, awesome. I hate the fact that I have a double chin here. I know that like you guys can see it and it's like very prevalent. I'm trying to get rid of it, I swear. Anyways, going back to Ariana and how I'm super psyched for her, super stoked that she is going through this journey and she's just thriving and it's amazing. I think everybody's really happy for her. Maybe not Sandoval, but like, maybe he is. I don't know. That's a good question probably to ask, him. So, that being said, moving on to some not so great news. Lenny Hochstein is back at it again, accusing Lisa of having an affair before their daughter was born and during their 10-year anniversary. He basically is saying that she's saying that I cheated multiple times, but she has cheated multiple times. So that being said, I just feel bad. Sorry for the lighting, you guys, like the sun's behind me and it goes back and forth. So again, sorry. Anyways, going back to Lisa and Lenny Hochstein, this is just sad. Like, I think I stand with everybody where I'm just like, I'm done. Like, I'm with Lisa's friends. I don't want to hear about this anymore. Nobody wants to hear about the Lenny and Lisa saga anymore. It's been over a year of this back and forth in the media, back and forth on the show. I think just, man, y'all just need to end it because people don't give a shit anymore about your drama, even though I'm sitting here talking about it on a podcast. That being said, stop. Just stop with the accusations. Stop with all of the things. You're the one with the money, man. Just let it go. Move on with your life. Enjoy this time that you have with your new fiance and move on, right? And also Lisa's moving on as well. I think that Lisa wouldn't even be talking about this if you didn't consistently bring shit to the forefront. So just stop. Stop with all of the nonsense. Last but not least, this is a little old, but I still got to bring it up. Alexis Bellino, who is allegedly taking Taylor Armstrong's place, is going out officially with John Jansen. Man, that man stays on the show. Like, do you even care about, like, he stays on that show. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to call him thirsty, but it seems a little thirsty there, dude. Like, it seemed a tad thirsty to just continue to stay on the show. And because there's so many other women out there in Orange County that aren't on this show. And yet you're with a woman that's going to be on the show conveniently next season. So there's also two new cast members, by the way, you guys, for Orange County. I really hope that they prove me wrong. I always want to be proven wrong, by the way, until I'm right. But I really, really hope that these new two castmates, which I'll look them up right now for you, but like these two new castmates, I'm really hoping that they have genuine relationships with the girls on the cast. Because I'm not a huge fan of when you cast people and then all of a sudden it's like, why are they there? Kind of like Noella. It just was like, who do you know? How are you friends with these people? Do you really have a genuine friendship with these people? Yes, I know that Noella like basically tried to squeam her way in and has been wanting to be on the show for like years. And I'm sure that like majority of women want to be on this show that like are of affluence, and fame is something that, you know, some people can't have, I guess. But I don't know. I'm not a fan of this. Like I love the new cast members. Like Jennifer was great because she actually had a genuine relationship with Tamara. And then she grew her relationships with everybody else. That's amazing. That's the way it's supposed to be versus, you know, just shoveling somebody in there because they're a celebrity or because you want diversity or something like that, which, by the way, both of these women are of African-American descent and Asian descent, which I'm all for inclusion. I don't care about that, but I just really want and I think the audience will agree with me, or fans will agree with me. I just want a genuine connection. That's why Beverly Hills is so great, because they have that genuine connection, right? Like they have like an actual friendship with one another. These guys actually are friends. Like they hang out off camera. That like they don't need the camera in front of them in order to be around one another. Yeah, it's not giving it to me, which is so bizarre, because I literally saw this on I saw this. Oh, here we go. Maybe this is it. Hopefully this is it. Anyways. Yeah, it's not. Well, this sucks. They're not returning until 2024, which totally makes sense. You know what? I will try to put this on my social media, you guys, if I can find it. Cause I swear to God, it was on there. I swear that there's going to be two new castmates on here. That being said, let's move on, you guys, to the recap of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They bring it, man. They so bring it. And I love, like, again, I love this franchise because of the genuineness and the genuine care and the genuine cattiness and the genuine, you know, bitchiness of it all and the drama of it all. So they're bringing it. Now, granted, they're not Salt Lake City. Granted, it's not Southern Charm. Granted, it's not Married to Medicine, but they still bring it. They're still doing a great job. So ladies, keep it coming. Keep it coming. So PK, in last week's episode, PK and Dorit's marital issues come up while they celebrate their wedding anniversary as PK tries to recreate Pretty Woman. Pissed poorly, I might add, but I digress. Erica Jane talks about resurrecting her career, which, knock on wood, you guys, I am hoping to go to her second to last show or her last show in Vegas on the 16th of December. And then I don't know if she's coming back for a residency or not, but I am trying to go to the show, and I will give you all of the feedback on my social media if I can possibly do that, because I love her. I've been an Erica Jane ride or die for those that have like listened to this podcast since I started it, I think like 2 years ago, a year or two ago. I have been a ride or die for Erica Jane, and I will continue to ride for that girl, even though there have been a lot of negative shit prior to the lawsuits and all that stuff with her. So I think that she's great. I love Erica Jane. I think that she's awesome, or Erica Girardi, or whatever, you know, her current name is, but I've always been in love with Erica. I think she's great. She was wonderful for the show. Great addition. Super psyched, that she's trying to resurrect her career, and she has resurrected her career, right? Even though they're dollar tickets, and I'll take those dollar tickets all day long, Sutton. Moving on, Dorit. Last week, Dorit and Kyle have a blow-up conversation at Garcelle's premiere, and it continues on the Sutton and Kyle have a blow-up conversation at Garcelle's premiere, and it continues at the third dinner from hell. We also get a sneak peek, like a smidget of Denise Richards being so fucked up that not only does she not see or speak straight, but the chef is recognizing it and talking about it on camera, which is fucking hilarious. And I agree, by the way, all of the accounts out there, all the influencers that are doing this and like posting that he should be the next bartender for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Watch What Happens Live or whatever. Absolutely, you should get that chef on that show. It's he's fucking funny. Like, that was hilarious to call her out like that. That being said, this week we continue with the dinner from hell, specifically Garcelle and Sutton, who, guys, like, man, y'all are, like, it's one thing to, like, be there for a friend, Garcelle, and I get it, and I've been on your side this whole entire season. I'm, like, loving the new you, but let's get real. You guys aren't close enough to Kyle to come at her like that, and to bring up that kind of a conversation. I'm kind of with Faye on this, like, Faye Resnick on this one. Like, this is so inappropriate to bring up something this personal. If she doesn't want to talk about it, don't, like, leave it alone, right? Like, and also, according to Kyle, everything's going to be revealed later on in the show, in the season. So I'm fine with waiting for it. I mean, obviously, I would love to hear it before, and now we do actually know what she was going through and what she was dealing with. But at least, you know, we know. No, at least we're, you know, let her tell her story. I'm very okay with that. Let her tell her own story. She deserves that, especially being an OG and being one of the original ones that's still on the cast. And I don't think there's anybody else from the original season one that's on the show anymore other than Kyle. So let her have her own narrative. I'm fine with it. Or let her be in control of her own narrative. I'm fine with it. They bring up a divorce. I was going to bring up, like, so they bring up her divorce, like, her possibly separating, bring up, like, divorce and stuff like that, and, like, issues in her marriage. I was just going to say, it's not your place to talk about her private life, even if she is a public figure, because there are kids involved. And she does have, like, granted, majority of her kids are adults and they're grown, but she does have a child involved that is not an adult. So, and they do watch the show. They obviously, or their friends watch the show or what have you. So, like, they all know that she's a public figure. So this definitely could not be helping her, her case, her family life and situation. I'm glad that they had a great Thanksgiving, and hopefully they'll have, knock on wood, they'll have a great Christmas as well as a family. But they're separated, and they've talked to their kids about this. It's going to be on the show. And I think just leave her the fuck alone, guys. Like, I'm very okay with it. And what is with the bashing of her trying to be healthier, and that's how she's dealing with her anxiety and, like, everything else? I think this is the best thing that anybody could possibly do. Like, I wish I could do this, because I'd be drinking like a fucking champ if I was Kyle right now. I would be, like, I'd be taking Fireball to the dome, to be honest with you, if I was in her situation. But the fact that she decides, due to her addiction issues with her family's addiction issues, she's taken the other route, good for her. Like, this should not even be an issue. This should not even be a question. This should not even be something that you shame her for. It's insane. This is insane that you people are shaming her for not drinking and not being Splits Kyle and Ponytail Kyle. Let her be, man. Let her wake up at 5 a.m. And what is it doing to you? How is it affecting your life as her quote unquote friend? How is it affecting your life? Like, I'm proud of her for taking that route. I think it's great. I think it sucks that maybe some of her friendships have sided by the wayside, but that's also because she's decided not to drink and her friends do drink. And so there's going to be a rift. There's going to be a divide when you choose a different life and your friends choose that different life as well. Like, they're on the other side of the spectrum versus you're on this side of the spectrum. Like, it's going to happen. Unfortunately, you're going to have to cut ties. It's what happens when you get older too. Your friendship circle becomes a lot smaller. I just think that people are so used to her obviously being seen in a certain light, and it's just like, now she's trying to change it. I'm all for it. You don't need to drink every single freaking time that you go to an event. It's not necessary, you know, and you feel great the next day. Like, granted, it's because of this, but I've been sober for 2 weeks and other than this, I feel amazing. Like, are you going to give me shit because I'm not going out partying and drinking? Like, stop, guys. Stop with this sober bashing. That's ridiculous. You should be encouraging her. If you are all about women empowerment, Sutton, and all about, you know, maybe being supportive for women, then this would be a great time to be supportive to your girl. Like, what you are doing is just wrong, and it's bad. It's just so negative, and it's just so not, it's not, helping women. And this is why women will not progress, is because of this kind of behavior. I'm just saying it. I'm just going to bitch about it and say it, because that's what this show is for me. Anyways, Kyle explains her ring situation. Then I already talked about Sutton's reaction to Kyle and the apology. Man, Sutton really does lack self-awareness. I mean, if you can't see it in this, you know, scene as the person that's doing it, AKA Sutton, I don't know if there's any hope for you. This is, and no offense, like, this might be the reason why you're single, is because you don't have that kind of self-awareness. Anyways, we then get to know Anne Marie finally, even though it's a smidget. It's not really a lot, but we get to know her. And I heard that basically she's getting demoted to a friend of, because of what's going on with her husband, Marcellus, and these rape accusations. I really hope that's not the case, because this had nothing to do, like, she wasn't even around when Marcellus was accused of this, but I guess guilty by association because he is her husband. And I'm sure this is affecting their household in so many numerous ways. But I hope she's not just a friend of, because she's bringing it and I love it. So, and she's going to bring it next episode as well. I'm super excited about next episode, where she talks to Sutton and basically asks her about her small esophagus, which I can see being a thing, but at the same time, like, anyways, she brings it all up and stuff next week. And I can't wait for it. Cynthia then chimes in when Garcelle talks about getting her divorce and, you know, life after divorce and something like that. And I love that Cynthia says that there's something also to be said about being single for a while and enjoying your singledom and enjoying your singlehood. Then in her confessional, Sutton says that Erica had a Hollywood type of a love affair. Again, self-awareness, Sutton. In what world are you living in? By that logic, it seems like you would be in a amazing love affair with your husband. Like, what are you talking about? He was controlling the entire time. And you can see it on camera too. Like, I don't know what world you're living in. Just because you have money doesn't mean that you're in a love affair. Like, I bet you Erica was not getting laid. Like, at all. She probably had so many toys. Like, if I was married to somebody that was, like, going through dementia, like, I probably would be, like, playing with myself too. Like, I don't know if, like, you would be so apt to be like, hey, honey, let's hit the sack. Like, let's get it on. He probably wouldn't even be able to do it either. Anyways, so, like, I don't know, man. Sutton, you are very delusional. I would love to hear what made you say that. Again, from an outsider's perspective, maybe they had this, like, love affair. But even then, like, he was very controlling to her. Yeah, so again, maybe from an outsider's point of view, but, like, just looking from a fan's perspective over the years of watching them interact together, he didn't let her talk. He spoke over her. That was not a partnership. That was not a love affair. Like, that was not, like, yay, he funded her career. Like, is that a love affair? Like, she wants something where, like, you can't live without, kind of like a Larsa and Marcus kind of thing, where, like, they want to rip each other's clothes off every single 2 seconds and they can't, like, not be around each other. They get separation anxiety, right? So I think that that's more what she was thinking of, as opposed to the jewelry, as opposed to the trips, as opposed to being like, hey, here's money, like, fix it, you know, kind of thing. I think that that's what she was talking about. And I think you're talking about the money aspect and she's talking about, like, I want to rip your fucking clothes off and, like, let's lay in bed with each other for, like, a weekend or something, you know? Also, nobody knows what happens behind closed doors, right? The reality isn't the same as it appears on the outside. So I'm kind of with Erica on this one. I don't think that she had a love affair with her husband. Good try, though, Sutton. Then Dorit asks Denise how she feels being back with the group, because it's been a couple of years that she hasn't been back. And this is where we get the fucking fire in Denise. It's great. It's like cringeworthy television, but great-worthy television, right? Like, where you get to sit there and watch her just, man, whatever the fuck she was on, I'm with Dorit. Give me those drugs. Like, what are you on? Like, I'm thinking it had to be, like, some kind of, like, Norco, like, sleeping pill or something like that, where you should not be mixing your booze with that drug. It doesn't get mentioned, which that I kind of am annoyed with, the next day when all of them go out to lunch. I think it's Sutton and Garcelle and Crystal, they all go to lunch with, and Denise joins the lunch. And she explains why she wants, like, why she wants an apology from Erica, which is totally understandable, but you should have just said that at the dinner. And it, she wasn't able to explain that at the dinner. And I don't think that anybody had the balls enough to be like, Denise, you were very slurry. Like, you couldn't even, if you could say what you said that day at the dinner, then she probably would have apologized and been like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that you feel this way, and da da da. Like, because Erica was calm as fuck and was like, I'll apologize, but I don't know what I'm apologizing for. I don't think anybody knew what she was apologizing for. So just fucking hilarious. Denise, Denise is great as like a friend of, she needs to be like a Vicky, where like she's a woohoo girl and a fun time, and then come in, cause a little drama and like sprinkle herself in there and then leave, because that was freaking great television. That's going to be, I like, for me, I hope that that gets put on replay a lot this year. Like, I really, really hope that there are memes. I haven't seen any, but I hope that there are memes out there right now, guys. Hit me up in the DMs and, like, share those with me, because I will share all of the Denise, like, DMs. I just thought it was good television. Like, maybe she's looking at herself in a different light and it's not, like, flattering, but I think that it's just, it's great TV. And obviously nothing gets resolved after that. We then get Dorit letting Kyle know what Sutton said about her before she sat down to the dinner. And Sutton basically says she's in denial about something. Once they ask, like, well, where's the host? And she's like, well, she's in denial about something. Then we get into another spat. I just think that Kyle and Sutton are just, this is going to be them all season. Right. She asks what she's in denial about, or Kyle asks Sutton what she's in denial about. Sutton says she doesn't know. Kyle doesn't really like to talk about herself, even though she let the group know at the retreat that things in her marriage haven't been going well. And that was huge for her to be able to open up to them earlier on. She gets no credit for that, by the way, which Kyle, you should get a lot of credit for that. Sutton then goes low. This is very low. And at least Sutton admits this, but it doesn't really help the situation because she doesn't admit it in front of Kyle. And says to Kyle, you've already lost two sisters. You want to lose a third. That's just mean, especially considering like how much effort Kyle has put into her relationships with her family. Like, that's just mean. It's just wrong. But it opens up an entirely different talk about how Sutton's a social climber, and it's obvious that she's a social climber. She wants to be invited to every single party. She wants to be, she's hanging out with freaking random celebrities or whatever that she's quote unquote friends with. And like, no offense, you wouldn't be friends with these people if your ex-husband didn't have the means. You would not be friends with these people. I mean, I guess good for you if this is what you want out of life. I love that Erica basically, like, so she basically gets called out. Sutton gets called out by Kyle. Kyle saying like, well, you were kissing my ass, or kissing Kathy's ass, just so you can get invited to a few parties and be around celebrities and stuff like that. But when shit hits the fan, like, you really aren't a friend. Like, you just want, you know, the social status, whatever. And then Erica, this is why you need to get on the Erica train, man. Erica bounces, doesn't give a fuck. She's like, I'm always a rogue player. Like, I always go rogue. I don't care about that stuff. She grew up not in a similar environment. Like, she's not a debutante ball kind of person, but she did grow up in the South. So she understands why Sutton does what she does. But at the same time, she's not that kind of Southern person who needs that social climber status. So she leaves the conversation, leaves the kitchen, and then goes to go and comfort Kyle. Now that's a fucking friend. That's a friend. And I could not be more proud of the genuine friendship that she has with Kyle. Tells her, like, look, what she did was low. I'm so sorry that you're going through all of this. If you need anything, please let me know. Like, I will be there for anything. Cause she was there for her. Kyle was there for her when she was going through her shit with her lawsuits and with getting sued left and right and finally being put on top. Right? Like, so she was there when she was low, and she was there when she was high. So like, I think Erica is an amazing friend and an amazing person to just be like, I don't give a fuck about that stuff. Like, it's your narrative. It's your story to tell. It's not fair for her to tell that story. You know, let me know if you need anything. That's a fucking friend. Erica, if I could clap, I would be applauding the shit out of you. Round of applause for Erica. then The sadder part comes when, like, basically everybody finally gets the hint and leaves. And her maids go to console her as well. Man, I like sidebar. I know that this is probably a little inappropriate, but I got to talk about it because it's like a little weird. And I'm sorry I keep playing with myself. I just, or playing with my hair, but it's just really bothering me. Yes, I have bruises up the wazoo. No, I did not get hit. It's literally from this thing. So if you're seeing this and being like, oh my God, your bruises. Anyways, would anybody watch? DM me on this, comment on it. Maybe I'll leave this on my actual wall. Would anybody watch a version of The Help from the perspective of like these housewives, like the real maids of the housewives or something like that? Cause I think I would watch that. Like I would really want to watch like, or like just small little side cuts to the maids and like to the cleaning ladies or whoever that help these women and be like, oh my gosh, she's going through it again. This is ridiculous. Da, da, da. Like I'm not going to lie. I kind of would watch it because like, you know, they've seen some shit. Like, you know, they've seen some like bad stuff. Granted, they probably won't, like, silence is golden, but I'm impressed that nobody's tried to like get them for information because they must know a lot. They've got to know a lot. Okay. So the dinner from hell is finally over. Everybody leaves. We move on. Kyle and Anne-Marie meet up. Kyle runs to Anne-Marie's house. And to be honest with you, I'd probably do the same thing if I was in Kyle's shoes. Like, what else does she have to do? She works out every single freaking day. Might as well include this. She's got to work out anyway. And then they play pickleball, kind of. Basically, they rally. They don't really play. And then they finally sit down to discuss what happened the night before. They bring up the sister's comment, which was super low blow. And then also Sutton's small esophagus. And that kind of question gets brought up because obviously Anne-Marie's an anesthesiologist and she has to use, and I got put under, so I get what she's talking about. Like you have to go down somebody's throat in order to administer all of the stuff. So like she's like, this is my jam. This is my lady jam or whatever. This is my doctor jam. So like she knows everything about the throat because she has to. So it's just, I think she was just wanted to maybe know a little bit more information. And as Crystal says, she is nosy as fuck. So, but that's probably how she was able to, you know, get to where she is by asking questions. Like the smarter people ask questions, man. So Anne-Marie, keep asking questions. I'm loving it. I'm here for it. In another scene, Crystal and Sutton, Garcelle and Denise meet up for lunch. I already talked about that. For those that didn't watch the episode, the reason why Denise was all pissed off at Erica was because, the dinner she hosted in 2021, like their little barbecue thing or whatever in Malibu, they all started talking about threesomes within earshot of the kids' table. And she just wished that she would have been cognizant enough to... I just wish that she was cognizant enough to say this at dinner. But she finally says it at lunch and she's like, I just wish that she would acknowledge it and just, you know, apologize and then I would have moved on. I don't think that you were in the right frame of mind to even bring it up, to be honest with you, but... you know, semantics. We'll move on from that. Dorit and PK in the next scene talk about Kyle's party, discuss if there's something going on with her. PK basically kind of defers and says like Mo's trying to take over the world with his company. So he's probably never available and never around. Same thing happened with their marriage, right? Like where he was traveling all the time. He was traveling when they got broken into. Then Dorit brings up homeschooling the kids for another year, and they're 7 and 9 at this point. Dorit, I'm on your side. I'm on your side as far as homeschooling because they did have to end up homeschooling them due to the pandemic. If you have the means, homeschool your kids, dude. If you have the means, I'm very all for it. I, however, am partially with PK on the cutoff date. I think by junior high, they should be intricated into a more of a social situation where they know how to interact with other people. It's very important. I also, though, would have had them in sports since they were 5. So, like, that would have been easier for them to be integrated into normal functioning society and to have, and for them to have social skills. That's what I would love to do with my kids if I ever have kids. I would like from like 5 years old till high school or however long they want to, you know, elongate their physical career, their athletic career. I would love for them to be involved in sports, specifically like a team sport, right? I play college basketball, so I'd love them to play college basketball. I'd love them to play basketball just in general. I'm not really for football for obvious reasons, but you know, if they're a boy or even a girl, like what are you going to do? I'm not going to sit there and be like, no, you can't play ever. Like, so, but that being said, Dorit, I'm on your side as far as the homeschooling, but not all the way. Not until they're in high school. I think that's way too late to integrate them into, like, they're going to be the socially awkward kids in high school that came from homeschooling. They're going to be the caddies of the world from Mean Girls, like, that don't know anything about, you know, interacting with people even their own age because they only interact with people that are older than them. So I think PK is right on this one. I'm not saying that he is 100% right. I think you guys are 50-50 and you need to figure that out. Hopefully they do. Hopefully we'll see as they progress on in the season. It'd be really interesting to watch. Then next week on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, we get to meet Jade's girlfriend, Ashlyn, who he's obsessed with. It's kind of cute-ish. And then Sutton invites the girls to her store's four-year anniversary. Sutton gets into an argument with everyone at her store's anniversary party. I am saying it now. Sutton's getting the first chair. She's going to be one of the girls that gets the first chair because all the drama has been relayed around so far. All the drama, and we're not even halfway through the season, has relayed around Sutton and her shit talking and her shit stirring or whatever. So I think Sutton's going to get one of the first chairs in the reunion for sure. I think it's pretty obvious anyway. It is, at least to me. Then we get a argument with Anne-Marie and Dorit from Sutton. Like, Sutton basically argues with Anne-Marie and with Dorit, which I've been alluding to already for Anne-Marie because of the doctor thing, and she thinks that she's on a doctor visit. Should I get my insurance card out or whatever? That was kind of funny, I'm not going to lie. But, no, she's just curious, you know? Like, she's trying to get to know you. She's trying to, like, understand, you know, what's this small esophagus thing? Like, you can't eat foods, like, certain foods. Like, I just want to know. Dorit and Crystal also get into it because she's accused of talking behind Sutton's back. Or they get involved, in Sutton, basically, I guess Crystal says to Sutton that Dorit's talking behind her back. And then Sutton goes and like, that's why she bitches and talks to Dorit and is like, why are you talking behind my back? That one I'm not as interested in, to be honest with you. I don't really care because I just don't care. But that's next week, you guys. So I'm super excited about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm going to take a really quick break because I do need to drink some water and I hate drinking it on camera. So I'm going to take a really quick break and then we're going to recap Real Housewives of Miami, which is also really, really good. See you guys in a second. Do not forget to follow all that freaking crap, anywhere you get your podcast, and follow us on social media. All my tags will be at the end of this episode. So stay tuned to the end of the episode because you'll get all the tags for our social media. Anyways, guys, I'll be right back. Thanks for watching. Stay with us. I'll be right back. Hey, guys, welcome back to The Real Bitch of Bravo. I know for you, it was like 2 seconds for me to obviously come back, but I needed that break for a hot second. Needed it. So that being said, let's go back to The Real Housewives of Miami. This week's episode, or last week, sorry, on Real Housewives of Miami, Gertie tells Larsa that she has breast cancer, and in typical Larsa fashion, she lets the rest of the group know, even though she was specifically asked not to tell anyone since she hasn't told the rest of the group yet. She wanted to tell them in her own way, which so rightfully so. Love that Kiki stood up for her in her confessional and basically said, yeah, Gertie has 100% every right to be mad about this. If the shoe were on the other foot, we wouldn't be hearing it from Larsa till kingdom come. So Larsa is very much like, in my mind at least, just watching on camera, she is very much like Sutton, where she's just in her own fucking reality and she's in her own little world. And to a certain degree, I get it. But at the same time, when it comes to cancer, like, you're questioning this person's cancer. Has she ever lied to you before? Like, no, she's never lied to you before. So, like, it makes no sense for you to even question that A. B, like, why would she be lying about cancer? She's not freaking, oh my God, why am I blanking on his name right now? But Vicky's ex, boyfriend. Like, this isn't one of those cases. I'm pretty sure she doesn't want to lie about cancer, or she doesn't want the cancer in the first place, right? She didn't want to go through all of the chemotherapy and everything that she's had to go through, or she thinks that knew that she was going to have to go through when it came to getting this diagnosis. I don't think anybody wants to make the statement, hey, by the way, I have breast cancer, or cancer in general. So yeah, I think that she, like, Larsa, you gotta come down to earth on this one and just admit that you were wrong. And I hope that you do that during the reunion. And we end last week's episode with the police arriving at Lisa's home, which we will soon find out why she had them come over to her house / her now Lenny's home. But now for this week on The Real Housewives of Miami, everyone except for Lisa is in the fuck cancer party, and Lisa is on the phone with all of the girls to let them know that the police have arrived at her home, because this is the reason why we find out, because basically Lenny and his mother were harassing her when she was just in her room. Now, according to Lenny, it's a totally different scenario, and that she was like going crazy and stuff like that as well on her, on him and her mother or something like that. And it was vice versa. And she was shoving him and pushing him down or anything like that. But this, like, these are two totally contradictory stories. And I'm siding on Lisa, because why would she want to be in this toxic environment, right? Like, I think that she just wanted her kids to be in the same home that they've grown up in, you know, and have some kind of stability, which I get that. I just wish that he would, it just doesn't seem like he gives a shit about the kids. He's more concerned about himself. I also wonder if Lenny's an only child, because this would totally make sense. Anyways, moving on from this, unfortunately, the show has to go on, and Martina gets the surprise of her life as Julia sings a Traviata, which, to be honest with you guys, like, I know Two Teas in a Pod, like, made them, like, kind of made fun of this, but it was good. She actually did. I mean, granted, she's not a professional. She's not claiming to be a professional, but she did a damn good job of, you know, singing A, in a foreign language, B, she's Russian, so she doesn't know, you know, this language, and she did a great job. I think she did an amazing performance, and she did it for the right reason. She did it for love. She finally was able to explain to Martina why she wasn't at her last cancer treatment, and peace was restored and all the love and all that good stuff. So, I mean, you gotta love what she was trying to do and what she was doing. Lisa finally arrives with Jody in the middle of Julia's surprise performance. And after it is over, some of the ladies head to the back of the house to talk to Lisa to find out what happened between her, Lenny, and his mother and the police. I already kind of went into that. She was trying to get ready, and they were basically harassing her and, like, saying in front of her kids, you know, Lenny's fiance is going to be a better mother to the children than she is, which, like, even if that's true, you don't say that in front of the kids. Like, don't fight in front of the children. They're going to be scarred for, those kids are scarred for life, specifically her son, who's the firstborn, who can actually be cognizant of all of this. And he seems like a sweet, sweet kid. So this family is fucking up the children left and right. I just feel so bad for the kids. Like, that's the only thing I really, really feel bad about throughout this whole entire thing. We then jump back again to the back of the house, where most of the girls are talking about the Lisa trauma with Lenny. And then the Gertie and Larsa drama begins. I mean, Larsa keeps doubling down, and it's crazy to me, because it's like, dude, it's not your story to tell. Like, let Gertie say her story. Let her have her moment, because, like, this is something that's obviously her story. Like, you can't, like, you could never ever do that story justice. It's just, the whole thing's wrong. She should just bow out gracefully in this whole entire thing and do not double down anymore. Just stop, Larsa. Just let it go. Say you're sorry, let it go, and move on, because I don't see this going your way, in your favor, in any way, shape, or form, especially when... Oh, and then she lies about saying, you never told me not to tell. Roll the footage, Bravo editors. Roll the fucking footage, because she literally says, you joked about it, about telling TMZ as we were leaving the lunch. Like, what is going through your head? Like, I don't think that she, like, grasps certain things when they're going on. I think that, again, she's in her own world. She's in her own world. It's not an excuse, but it is a reason for why she's a little crazy and saying all these lies. Maybe she thinks that they're real. Maybe she thinks that this is actually, like, you know, when she says, hey, you know, you didn't tell me not to tell anybody. It's like, no, she specifically said that. Like, maybe you thought that, but that's not what she said to you at all. I don't know. Only the reunion's going to tell when she finally, like, turns back and starts talking about this, and then the footage comes back and she can actually see herself and what was actually said during those conversations on camera. Balls, Larsa. That is balls to double down and lie on camera when they have everything on camera. Like, at least be like, you know what? I don't remember that. I'm sorry. Like, that's a better excuse and that's a better reasoning than you just doubling down being like, you never said that. Damn. Then Larsa go shopping for condos. I think with Kiki. Don't quote me on that. I don't remember. I didn't write it down. But they go shopping for condos for Lisa's new home, and in that Lisa invites this group of girls to the to Palm Beach. They then talk about Gertie and Larsa situation. Shocker, Larsa makes it. Oh, it was Adriana. Adriana was with Lisa and Larsa as they were trying to look for a condo for Lisa. And they all get invited to Palm Beach. And then shocker of all shockers, they turn to the Gertie and Larsa drama situation, and Larsa makes it about herself. I normally am not a huge Adriana fan. Like, I can live with her, I can live without her. I'm not like, neither here nor there. Like, I could care less. But this is the time that all y'all have to agree, like, Larsa makes shit about herself. Like, it's supposed to be about Gertie and her cancer and her situation. And then Larsa sits there and makes it about herself of like, well, how was I supposed to know? And like, she's ganging up on me. And it's like, she has cancer. Like, you can't be sympathetic for like 30 seconds that this woman with two kids has cancer. And because if the shoe were on the other foot, home skillet, it would be so different. It would be you being like, I have fucking cancer and I can't believe you're making it about yourself. Da, da, da. And like that, but your feelings should be validated, but Gertie's shouldn't be. Like, it's just, that's how it comes across. I'm sure that's not how she's meaning it, but that's how it comes across. And that is crazy, but makes for great television, by the way, though. I'm all about the freaking drama. It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miami, for always bringing it. Julia meets up with Nicole and her son at the dog park, along with along with Alexia. They all meet up at the dog park. They talk about Julia's performance, which again I thought was banging. I thought it was great, beautiful surprise. And then when Alexia joins them, they go pick up sunflowers. And the funny scene happens when we find out that Julia is actually deathly allergic to bees, and Alexia is just afraid. But I'm like, dude, why would you go and agree to pick sunflowers if you know that there's going to be bees involved? Like, they grab their nectar. They're like, anyways, to each his own. I hope she, you know, didn't have to use that EpiPen later on. Hope she didn't have to go to the hospital. It seems like she didn't. So good for her for not getting stung by a bee. They talk about Nicole and her pregnancy journey, because I think that Alexia and Nicole had this conversation when they went to go make pizzas and stuff like that with their husbands. So, and we all know by now that Nicole is pregnant with her second child. So super excited for that. I would love to know if they had to go through IVF with that or if they actually did it naturally, because she had to take that IUD out. And I've had a lot of friends that have the IUD in there, and it's like no joke. Some of them, it takes them a while for all those hormones to get out of their body and get out of their system. Some, it's just, they can just breed quicker. I think women of Hispanic blood, like, no offense, I think just genetically, they are dispositioned to be able to have babies easier than most women. So good on her. That's awesome. Like, I'm not hating whatsoever. I think that a lot of women are very jealous about that shit. Then the girls go and get juices after they pick their sunflowers and eat lunch. And they get invited. And then Lisa actually calls them in the middle of the conversation and invites them all to Palm Beach. I keep wanting to call it Palm Desert because I live in California, but Palm Beach. They obviously all say, yes. And then it's interesting to me, because this gets brought up later, but like, it's interesting to me that Julia is trying to form this friendship, right, with Alexia, and she asks her, oh, we should room with each other so we can get to know each other. Da, da, da. And I'm like, in my head, before this even came up, I was like, this ain't gonna fly. Marisol's going to freaking jump on that shit like it's nobody's business. She's gonna be like, that's my roommate. Like, why would you seal her? And I think that, like, then I think something else comes to the forefront, which I think I'll bring it up in conversation naturally. So we skip on over to Kiki, Marisol, and Gertie meeting up for lunch or happy hour. Kiki talks about her having sex the night before, which, good for you. Then they talk about opera night. Marisol lets the girls know the reason why she missed the Fuck Cancer event and that it was due to a medical procedure that she had to have that night. Look, I actually can understand and get down with what Marisol, I don't know what the procedure was that she needed to get done, but if it was one of those things where it's like, you're going to get caused, irreversible damage is going to be caused if you don't get it done that day, I understand. She hasn't said this, so I don't know if that's the case. But when it came to my wrist, if I didn't know if I was going to have nerve damage or not. So they were like, the sooner that you do this, the better. So I got it in the second that they could schedule me. So I'm assuming that's what Marisol did. But then again, I don't know because I don't know what her situation medically is. She also has probably like had major stomach issues for a very long time. So to correct that is probably necessary. And on top of it, you know what? It made the event a lot more pleasant and less dramatic, which I'm actually all for just for this personal event because it's a Fuck Cancer event. It's like supposed to be like uplifting. I'm all for drama in the Housewives, you know, universe, but this was a good moment for Marisol not to show up and cause more drama. Cause trust me, this group can already bring it when it comes to drama. I don't think that there was less drama. I mean, you had Lisa calling the cops before she had to go to this event. You had freaking Gertie and Larsa and their issues together. There was plenty of drama to be had. So I'm not really concerned about adding another wrench into the event with Adriana and with Marisol. So we can move on. Then Gertie brings up Larsa spilling the beans about her cancer to the rest of the group and that she not only needs to acknowledge what she's done wrong, but she also needs to apologize and be accountable for her actions and she won't accept anything less. And and this is when I said Kiki in her confessional says like, yeah, she 100% is owed an apology by Larsa. Like, thank God somebody finally fucking said it. Finally, in the next scene, Julia and Alexia go shopping for Palm Beach. There is so much, this is the irony I was going to be talking about to you guys. There is so much irony during this shopping experience between Julia and Alexia. It's hilarious. It's now funny to me. It was crazy when I watched it, but now it's just funny now in hindsight. Alexia is saying the exact same thing about Adriana that Julia and Adriana have been saying about Marisol. That, basically, Julia brings up Alexia and herself rooming with one another in Palm Beach. And Alexia says that she has to ask Marisol and Todd's permission. And Julia finds that odd, which I think that that's weird too, because you're not going to ask that of Marisol. And like, if you're trying to get to know this person, this is the best time to get to know this person. It's not like these day-to-day, like it's group trips like this that are best time. And just be like, Marisol, like, do you mind rooming with Nicole? Or do you mind rooming with, you know, somebody else? Like, it's not that deep. Or have your own room. What are there, five in there? I don't know. I'd have to look at like how many, the breakdown, but they're saying the exact same shit about each other. It's just irony at its finest. It's fucking hilarious. All the ladies then meet up at Jody's place in order, or Adriana's old place, in order to corral themselves for the 2-hour drive it takes to get to Palm Beach. I'm not gonna lie to y'all, I wanna be in the Adriana car because that looked like the most fun because they were just jamming the fuck out. Everybody else was sitting there and talking shit or quiet as fuck. Or like they were singing opera in the Larsa car. And I was like, I don't wanna be in that car. I really don't wanna be in that car. But I did wanna be in the fun, you know, Adriana car where they were just singing her song and just jamming out and just having a good time. Like I just, that would be more my thing. Like I want that kind of environment in order to get on to the next whatever, in order to get to the vacation spot. They finally arrive in Palm Beach and I guess Julia thinks that there's an implication that Alexia doesn't want to be, is not comfortable maybe with her being a lesbian. And that's the reason why she told her no right when they arrived about rooming with her. I hope that this gets addressed because if that's the case, that's going to be, maybe she's just a little uncomfortable because she doesn't know her that well or something. But like, I'm trying to give Alexia the benefit of the doubt, but it ain't looking good. It is not looking good. Again, so I hope that this gets addressed, maybe at a dinner or something like that. And then next week on The Real Housewives of Miami, the girls go scavenger hunting in each other's rooms. I thought that was a weird, quirky game, but whatever, to each his own. That's what they do. We're going to look forward to that next week. And then they go vintage car driving and one of them breaks down in the middle of the road and have to go into the other person's car. That's fucking funny. Then in real true Housewives fashion, there's a blow up at dinner and a fight ensues. So looking forward to that dinner. I hope it has to do with the Alexia, Julia, you know, not rooming with each other conversation. I just want an answer. That's all I want. I think that Julia wants an answer too. I think that like Alexia just doesn't think that it's a big deal. But I would want an answer. I mean, Julia brings up a really good point. She's fucking married. Like what, why is she going to freaking get down on you? Like not every single lesbian wants to be with you. Like you're not that hot, honey. Got a lot of work done. You're not that hot. Moving on, we get to watch what happens live. And the only thing that I wanted to go over, like a couple things. Dorit and Gertie are the guests on Watch What Happens Live. And we bring up the upside down jacket trend that Dorit is not going to get in into, which is what Denise Richards basically did. She just was trying to call her out and be like, hey, we're just trying to look out for you. Like, flip your jacket. Then Gertie's reaction, watching everything play out on the show, and her reaction to Larsa's handling of the situation is the same. I mean, rightfully so. Like, it's insane that she, like, would tell her and then tell her, please don't say anything to anybody. And then, you know, it just blows up in her face. Larsa, you're just in the wrong. Like, there's literally nothing you can say other than I'm sorry. And yeah, I probably shouldn't have said anything. Like, the world will forgive you for that. Like, they will move on. You just have to admit that you were wrong. And I don't think that Larsa can admit that she was wrong. So, kind of sad. But moving on from that, Dorit's reaction to what Garcelle, which, by the way, if I was Marcus, that would be a red flag for me. Like, that would be a red flag. If you can't admit you're wrong and move on in certain situations and, like, maybe apologize and stuff like, that would be a red flag in a relationship for me. Then we get to Dorit's reaction to what Garcelle said in her confessional when it came to the robbery and Dorit's jewelry still being intact. Dorit said that it cut deep as anything can. It was shocking. She debated texting her and it hurt a lot. And that we are going to see during the reunion when it gets brought up, the conversation that they will have probably then, and they'll probably talk about it during the reunion. So I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see. A lot of the I get the money grab, but it's really annoying. I just wish that they would kind of talk a little bit about it before the reunion. But I get it. It's, you know, ratings, money, networks, etc. You're gonna have to do it that way, I guess. Second to last thing, Dorit gets asked about Kyle and Morgan Wade's relationship and how it affected her relationship with Kyle. Dorit basically just says it makes her feel less connected to Kyle as her relationship with Morgan has gotten stronger. That's just how she feels, and other people possibly feel the same way. And again, I said this earlier on in the episode of this podcast. When you stop drinking, you have a different lifestyle than you had before. You're going to have different friends than you had before. There's going to be a different group, a different dynamic, all that stuff. So unless you are she's going to be cutting a lot of people off. And I'm talking about Kyle. She's going to be cutting a lot of people off because her life is different. And I don't think that people should take that personally. I don't think that people should be sad about it. They should just be like, you know what? She's moving on with her life in a certain direction. I just don't fit into that life. And move on from that. Maybe that sounds really cold, but like, I just think that that's just the reality of the situation. Yeah, she's going to be cutting a lot of people off, especially if she doesn't want to be around drinkers and she wants to live a healthier lifestyle. She wants to be, and she might not even go out during the nighttime anymore. Like, she might be like a 5, 6, 7 o'clock, you know, go to bed at 9 kind of a person now, because she wakes up butt-ass early in the morning. Like, who wants to go to bed at 1 a.m. and wake up at 5 to go work out? Like, that's 4 hours of sleep. Like, that's nothing. Like, I'd be so miserable if that were my life. So, you know, she's changing her life, and certain things are going to have to change along with it. So maybe get used to it, ladies. Get used to it. That's what happens when you change and your life goes in a different direction. It's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily good. It's just different. Last but not least, I just wanted to go over, like, I love Gertie for television, but damn, that bitch is a lot. Like, you can definitely see that she is like Gertie 2.0 on another level right now. And she's always kind of been like that. So God bless her husband. Like, he's got to be the most patient man on the fucking planet. I love it. I love it. I love you. I cannot wait for Southern Charm and Southern Hospitality. I'll be reviewing that. Hopefully you guys will get that episode out either Friday or Saturday. Thank you so much for sticking with me, and thank you so much for continuously watching and listening, however you get your podcast, you guys. Thank you again so much. Keep listening for a few other hopeful, I'm trying to get them, but like this, our schedules aren't mishmashing or anything like that. So I'm trying to get them to come on the pod. And you can kind of see it in a different light because I'll have actual cameras around and stuff like that for us to be on. But yeah, I'm like super excited, looking forward to my guests hopefully next week coming on The Real Bitch of Bravo to bitch about all things Housewives, all things Bravo. Don't forget to follow however you get, listen however you get your podcast, watch whatever. I'm not on YouTube yet, you guys, so again, I apologize, but I will try to get one together. It's literally like I'm the only one that does the production side of this, so if, please just be patient with me, just keep being patient with me. And if you don't follow me already, please follow me on Instagram or X, not X, sorry, Instagram or Threads on @the_real_of_bitch_bravo. If you want to follow me on my personal, it's fine. But like, to be honest with you, I'm boring as fuck. So it's @JIHAE_JHO_Wiley. Thank you so much again, you guys, for watching, listening, however you're getting your podcast through this. And I will see you hopefully in a few days. Thank you. Bye.